since January 22, 1973, legalized abortion has brought darkness to our country. And how dark can a country's soul be that has aborted 62 million babies? Friends, America needs the light of God's word. America needs the light of God's love to shine from us, his people. And we will see today what living in the light looks like. The scripture that will teach us is Colossians 1 and Ephesians chapter 5. Colossians will be our brief starting place. And as we look at these verses before us, Paul's prayer for his readers in Colossians has two parts. First, we have his petition, which we see in verses 9 through 11. And for what did Paul petition the Lord on behalf of the Colossian believers? Well, that they would know God's will. What a beautiful prayer. Paul's prayer for us is that we know God's will. Notice verses 9 through 11. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled, and here it is, with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. And what a blessing to know and to walk in God's will. Our children, our grandchildren need to know, parents, grandparents, that there's no higher calling in life than to live in God's will. And then second, we see Paul's praise to the Lord, the second part of Paul's prayer. And we see that in verses 12 through 14. And for what did Paul thank God? Verse 12 tells us, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Friends, if you are saved by the blood of Christ, you are now a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Don't let that fly over you. You say, well, I don't know if I have much of an earthly inheritance or not. Really, in the scheme of eternity, that doesn't matter. What matters is that you have been made fit. You didn't make yourself fit. God did. He made you, me, fit to be a partaker of his inheritance, the inheritance that he has for his children. And that inheritance is enveloped with light. As I told the folk on Wednesday, our inheritance is far more than just an endless existence. It is the life of Christ, who is the light of life lived in the believer. I know you're familiar with Galatians 2:20. You know it, say it with me. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There is that light of life. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Our inheritance also includes the earth. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And this inheritance will be realized when we rule and reign with Christ during his millennial kingdom. And then finally, our inheritance includes all the promises of God. And we can claim them even now, and they are innumerable. Let me just remind you of three. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalm 84:11, the Lord God is a sun, he's a shield. He gives grace, he gives glory. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I say, what an incomprehensible inheritance these promises are, even now and forever. Friends, this is our inheritance in light. The life of Christ, the earth, all the promises of God. Friends, the super rich of our world without Christ, who live in gated multi-million-dollar homes, who drive exotic sports cars, who fly in their own personal jets, who vacation on their own mega yachts, who enjoy the finest this world can offer, have nothing in comparison to what God has prepared for those who love Him. We are the ones that have it. Whatever they have is going to pass away, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. But let me remind you, Christians qualified to share in this amazing inheritance, we are described again as in the light. And light represents two biblical truths. Intellectually, it represents truth. Psalm 119:130 states, "The entrance of thy words give life. It gives understanding to the simple." And then morally, light represents purity. Ephesians 5:8 tells us, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And light in Scripture, again, refers to purity, our righteousness. Now, because we were formerly darkness, intellectually and morally dark, meaning we believed in and lived out the lies of this world, we lived in impurity and greed. But now we are light in the Lord. As Ephesians 5:8 tells us, we are to walk as children of light. Now, our focus this morning will be on what characterizes the life of the children of light. What is to be the pattern of our daily conduct as children who have been called light in the Lord, whose inheritance is with the saints in light? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, we are told, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Like the verb were, the verb are is not modified, which tells us that just as we were darkness before we trusted Christ for our salvation, we are now light, which tells us our lives are to be light. Again, God has called us. He has delivered us from the domain, the dominion of darkness, and with darkness comes death. And he has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, into his marvelous light, the light of life, which all means we share in Christ's nature, his own nature, and because he is the light of the world, therefore we too are the light of the world. And in this deathly dark and evil world, we are to be a light set on a hill, walking as children of light. There should be no question in anyone's mind that you are light, that you are a child of light, that Jesus, who is the light of the world, is your life. Whenever you walk into a room, a dark room, when you turn on the light, the darkness doesn't overcome the light overcomes the darkness. And so when you walk into a room, when you go to work, when you go to school, when you walk through the grocery stores, whatever your activity might be, you should be light because you are one of the saints in light. Your life should radiate light in this dark world. Now, what marks, what distinguishes the children of light? How are we different from those who live in darkness? Well, if you look at our text in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9 gives us the answer. The characteristics of those who are light in the Lord are marked by three distinguishing marks. Notice verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit." And when it says fruit of the Spirit, it really in essence is saying the fruit of the light. Is it all goodness and righteousness and truth? The three characteristics or fruit of the believer who is living as a son or a daughter of light are goodness, righteousness, and truth. Being baptized, joining a church, giving financially, doing other good works are often used as evidence of salvation. But let me remind you that these are behaviors that the flesh can pull off. I mean, you can be as dark can be and be a member of a church. You can be the biggest giver in the church. You can have been dunked 15 times. You can be the good boy on the block. But I'll tell you, the flesh can pull that one off. But the flesh cannot be good, righteous, and truthful. Those characteristics are to be manifested in the children of light. The first fruit, the first characteristic of walking as a child of light is all goodness. I think it's significant that it says, it just doesn't say goodness, it says all goodness. We are to be good in every way. How we treat people, how we handle our resources, how we do our work, our job. There should be goodness that marks every aspect of our lives. There are several Greek words that can be translated as good or goodness in the New Testament. There is a Greek word, kalos, which speaks of that which is intrinsically right, beautiful, honorable. In other words, there is an inherent beauty there. Both Jesus and John the Baptist use this term for the good fruit of a good tree. Every tree, Christ speaking here, verse 19 of Matthew 7, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Then there is the Greek word Christos, which refers to that which is pleasant and useful, suitable, worthy. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul uses this word when he declares that evil communications corrupt good manners. But here in Ephesians 5, verse 9, Paul uses the Greek word agathosune, which refers to moral excellence, to being good in both nature and effectiveness, which means, I believe, it covers all aspects of goodness. It covers the goodness spoken of it with the Greek word kalos. It speaks of the goodness described with the word Christos. And like agape love, this goodness finds its highest expression in that which is willingly and sacrificially done for others, which really is then our relationship to others. My relationship to you, your relationship to me as children of light, should always, in every way, be marked by goodness. Remember Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, not even our enemies, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Not just to the ones that we feel we need to be good to. Oh, they treated me with decency. I need to be good to them. No, as children of light, we had to manifest goodness to everyone. Don't you think doing so sticks out pretty radiantly in this dark world? What's the motto in today's world? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. How you treat me is how I'm going to treat you. If you run me off the road, I'm going to run you off the road. Amen? Isn't that our mindset? The mindset of the world, the flesh? Absolutely. Look at verse 32 of chapter 4. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Doesn't that shout goodness? Verse 21 of Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then Paul uses the rest of the chapter to tell a wife how she is to be good in the home and how a husband is to be good in the home. And then you look at chapter 6, Paul tells us how the children are to be good in the home, how an employee is to be good at work, and how an employer is to be good toward his employees. I mean, it goes on and on. It covers all the bases of life. Friends, the fruit of goodness is this awesome, bright light in this world's selfish darkness. I think of these verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, like Christ, our light, we should be zealous of good works. We should be fruitful in every good work. Our lives need to be marked by doing good. Have I described your life? If people really walked with you, spent a day with you, what would your life be marked by? All about me or all about being good? This world needs good people. It's not every man for himself. If you're light in the Lord, your life should shout goodness. How that light will pierce the ugliness of this world. The second characteristic of the fruit of light is righteousness. Romans 6:11 tells us this: neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Friends, because Jesus has given us his own righteous nature, we are to pursue righteousness. 1 Timothy 6:11. For after all, if you know that he is righteous, 1 John 2:29, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Righteous living, not sinful living, but righteous living, shines brightly in this godless, loveless darkness of this world. And then the third fruit of light is truth. And truth here pertains to honesty and reliability, trustworthiness, integrity, which stands in stark contrast to our former ways of hypocrisy and deceptiveness and falsehood, which all mark darkness. Friends, our every word, our every deed should shout truth, that we are truth-filled people. I mean, there should be no question when you speak that you're not speaking the truth. Everything you say, people should say, you know what? That's the truth. That guy isn't trying to pull the wool over my eyes. He's not trying to deceive me. He's not trying to be hypocritical. He speaks the truth. He speaks the truth. In this dark world where truth has fallen in the streets, it's a sad day when journalism in our country is really marked by one falsehood after another. You know, the best place to get the truth is from God's word. How fitting that the children of light should therefore choose the way of truth, that we are valiant for the truth, that we speak every man truth to his neighbor. And so we say to the Spirit of truth, guide me into all truth, so that like Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, I too can be full of grace and truth, that I too can speak the truth in love. Goodness pertains primarily to our relationship with others. Righteousness primarily to our relationship to God, and truth primarily to personal integrity. Friends, these three characteristics These three fruits are to mark the walk of the children of light. If you have been delivered from the power of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, then you are a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, and your life should be marked by goodness, righteousness, and truth. And what a beautiful thing. Friends, these three characteristics, these three fruit, are to mark your life. As Colossians 1:10 tells us, walking worthy of the Lord is being fruitful in every good work, in goodness, in righteousness, and truth. Now we all sin, but we all still have our old sin nature, and how dark that old nature is. But for the true believer, we who were darkness are now light in the Lord, which means goodness, righteousness, and truth will mark our lives through the power of God's Holy Spirit, who enables us to grow in our sanctification, meaning because we are partakers, 2 Peter chapter 2, of this divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, we can give all diligence and therefore add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. Which means then we will desire more and more to learn what is pleasing to our God of light, who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And therefore, as we see in verse 10 of Ephesians 5, we will prove, we will demonstrate what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then with assurance, we can declare with the psalmist, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And we will walk in the light as he is in the light, and therefore have fellowship with him, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, continually cleansing away the darkness. And so as partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and this is my admonition, let us walk as children of light. And we can, for we are strengthened with might by his Spirit. We have the Spirit of Christ living in us. Let us let our light so shine before men, scattering the darkness of abortion and immorality and idolatry and covetousness and greed, so that they may see our good works, our goodness, righteousness, and truth, and glorify not us, but our Father who is in heaven, with the hope that they will desire to know this one who has cleansed us and who can cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When you shine, when I shine as a light in this dark world, and my life and your life are marked by goodness, righteousness, and truth, we shine Jesus to this dark world. Folks, there's no hope in any life apart from Jesus. Friends, in light of the undeserved mercies of God we have seen today, and if you're wondering, well, what are those mercies? Read Paul's prayer in verses 9 through 14. These verses are filled with the mercies of God. In light of all these undeserved mercies that we are now, because of God's mercies, light in this dark world, what is our reasonable service? Well, we are to let our light so shine before men. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you know him, say him with me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.